Dino Cassieri from Andersonville Baptist Seminary. As we continue in our course entitled The Doctrine of Christ, we're going to begin lesson number 12 entitled The Death of Christ. Lesson 12, The Death of Christ. And as you can see on your course outline, we'll look at four major points under the death of Christ. Point A, we'll have an introduction. Point B, we'll look at the doctrine of his death. Point C, the objections to the substitutionary death of Christ. And then point D, conclusion. So let's begin lesson number 12, the death of Christ. As we begin with our introduction, the two doctrines most opposed by fallen man are incarnation and expiation. According to Dr. Adolf Sapphire, these two doctrines show the marvelous, inconceivable, infinite love of God to poor, sinful humanity. Substitution is the great doctrine of Peter, Paul, James, and Philip in the book of Acts. D.L. Moody said, "There is not a ray of hope for man outside of substitution. Death was the supreme work of the Lord Jesus here on earth. We come to live, and death ends our work. Jesus came to die. His purpose could be gained in no other way. Sin involves the death penalty. Someone must bear it, either the sinner or a suitable substitute. There is no possibility of bribery here at Heaven's court. The atonement is the heart of Christianity. Atonement settles the sin question." It's said that Charles Spurgeon, the prince of preachers, chose a text and made a beeline for Calvary. Sin and the blood atonement is the central Bible issue. The red line of blood passes right through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Now let's move on to point B, the doctrine of his death. First of all, under the doctrine of his death, it was foretold by God. It was foretold by God. Let's turn to the prophet Isaiah with me. In Isaiah chapter 53, in verse number 8, Isaiah 53, verse 8, it says, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, as Isaiah prophesied, Isaiah 53, 8, "He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken." And then we see, let's turn to the book of Daniel, the prophet Daniel with me. In Daniel chapter 9, in verse 26, we have the prophecy of Daniel's 70 weeks. Notice what it says with me in Daniel 9, verse 26. "And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off." And of course, the cut off is talking about the crucifixion of Christ's death. And then in Zechariah, Zechariah. The prophet Zechariah in chapter 13. Zechariah 13, verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. Again, prophesying about the crucifixion. Again, we're looking at the doctrine of his death. We just looked at some verses dealing with how Christ's death was foretold by God. Now we want to look at is his death was appointed by God. His death was appointed by God. Let's return to the prophet Isaiah, chapter 53 once again. Isaiah chapter 53. And of course that whole chapter of Isaiah 53 is a great chapter of prophecy concerning the crucifixion and death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, we read, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, the him there in the context is Jesus Christ, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And of course, the Lord in this passage is referring to God the Father. Look at with me also in Isaiah chapter 53, in verse number 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Read here in Isaiah 53, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. And when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. And then in Acts chapter 2, the book of Acts, chapter number 2 with me, the book of Acts, chapter number 2. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 23, and of course in Acts chapter 2, this is the great sermon that the Apostle Peter preached at the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, verse 23. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. So these verses that we've looked at as we're looking at the doctrine of death show that his death, the Lord Jesus Christ's death, was appointed by God. Now we want to look at the meaning of his death and look at some terms that talk about his death or connected with his death. The first one is atonement. Atonement. It's used 77 times and means a covering for sin. It is an Old Testament word that only occurs once in the New Testament. And that occurs in chapter 5 of Romans, Romans 5, verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. The next word we want to look at is propitiation, and this carries the thought of a mercy seat. Look with me in the first general epistle of John, first general epistle of John with me. And in the first general epistle of John, we want to look in chapter 2 and verse 2. 1 John 2, verse 2. And he, and of course the reference to he in the verse is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is the propitiation, amen? He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The next word that we want to look at in connection with the meaning of his death is substitution. Substitution. This is the idea of one taking the place of another. The innocent taking the punishment for the guilty. Look with me in the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 10 of the Gospel of John, verse 11, John 10, 11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The next word connected with the meaning of his death is redemption. Redemption. The sinner is in bondage, is brought back by God, or bought back by God with a certain purchase price. And of course, that purchase price is defined in the first epistle of Peter. First Peter with me. And First Peter, chapter number 1, 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19. We see the price of redemption, amen, for the sinner to be bought back by God, amen, from the bondage of sin. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 18 and 19. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. Again, another word that we want to look at in connection, another term in connection with the meaning of Christ's death, is reconciliation. God and man were enemies, but we have now been made friends. Look with me in the book of Romans. The book of Romans with me. In Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 5 and verse number 10. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So the meaning of his death, reconciliation, the sinner has been made friends with God, amen, they're no longer enemies, amen, because of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus' death on Calvary reconciled God to man. And then another term that we see in connection with the meaning of Christ's death is ransom. In other words, the price paid for the release of a prisoner, the one that's kidnapped by sin, amen? Turn with me first to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 20 with me. Matthew chapter 20. Matthew 20 and verse 28. Jesus said this, even as the Son of Man, and of course that's referring to himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. And of course that word many in the scriptures can also mean all. He gave himself to be a ransom for all mankind. Amen. Not just for a few, or as some people teach the elect, but for all mankind. He gave himself to be a ransom. Amen. To pay the price so that you and I could be released. Amen. Released from the bondage of sin. Prisoners to sin. Amen. To be saved. Look with also with me in John, the Gospel of John, in chapter 19 and verse 18. John 19:18. where they were where they crucified him, the two others with him, one on either side, one, and Jesus in the midst. Amen. He gave himself, amen, to die, to release the prisoners. And we praise God for that prisoner who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and was released. Remember, he said to Jesus Christ over in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 23, he recognized who Jesus was, and he said in Luke chapter 23 and verse 42, the repentant thief said, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Yes, that thief knew that Jesus was the ransom to pay for his sins. He knew it was in the person of Jesus Christ, and he came and believed on him. And that dying thief is in heaven this day. Again, we're looking at the doctrine of his death. We just looked at some terms that are associated with the meaning of his death. Now we want to look at the mode of his death. How did he die? He died by crucifixion. He died by crucifixion. Let's turn first to the gospel account of Matthew. In Matthew chapter 27, Matthew 27 in verse 35, Matthew 27, 35, and they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. So we see that he was crucified. Again, in the gospel account of Mark, Mark chapter 15 with me. Mark 15 in verse number 24. Again, we're told in Mark 15, verse 24, and when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them what every man should take. And then in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23 with me, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23. Luke 23 in verse number 33. Luke 23, 33 with me. Again, we see it says in Luke 23, 33, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Amen. Also, we're looking at the mode of his death. It was prefigured to be on a pole or lifted up. Notice in the book of Numbers, the Old Testament book of Numbers with me. Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. We see the mode of his death is prefigured here in Numbers 21 verse 8. Numbers 21 verse 8. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Amen. That's right. When one looks upon the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, and believes on him, then he is saved. Amen. Shall live, shall have everlasting life, eternal life. Look, let's look in the Gospel of John, chapter 3 with me, the Gospel of John, chapter number 3. The Gospel of John, chapter number 3, in verse number 14. Again, a reference to what we just read in Numbers. John 3:14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Amen. The mode of his death. It was an ignominious death. Hebrews chapter 12 with me in verse 2. Hebrews 12. The book of Hebrews chapter number 12 in verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Also, as we look at the mode of his death, it was an accursed death. Amen. Galatians chapter 3 with me. Galatians chapter number 3 in verse number 13. Galatians 3 verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. So it was an accursed death, amen? Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now we want to look at, as we continue to look at different points on the death, the doctrine of his death, of Christ's death. His death was voluntary. He volunteered to die for us. He was not forced by anyone, not by the Father to do it, or anyone. Look it with me in the Gospel of John, chapter 10. The Gospel of John, chapter number 10. In the Gospel of John, chapter 10, in verse number 18 with me, John 10, 18. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. He said, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. His death was voluntary. Now we want to look at the reason for his death. Why did the Lord Jesus, the sinless one, have to die? We can understand how a guilty person would have to die as a result of sin. Jesus took our sin and died to satisfy the justice of a holy God in heaven. You see, sin demanded a payment, the death penalty. Only Christ could pay it in full. All the attributes of God must be in harmony to make salvation possible. God's loving nature could not forgive sin until his legal nature was satisfied. In Calvary, all the attributes of God found a perfect solution. That's why he had to die, my friend. Because of your sin and my sin. That's why the Father forsook the Son, and it grew dark that day on the earth. Amen. From the 6th to the 9th hour, from noon till 3 p.m. Because at that time, Christ was being made sin for us. He was being made vile and wicked, and every sin was on him. And God's wrath was being poured out on sin. Because a holy and just God cannot look at sin. So now when the Father looks upon you, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, amen, you've believed on Christ, you've accepted and trusting in him alone to save you in his blood atonement and nothing else. Now, the Father looks upon you, and all he sees is his Son's righteousness on you. one of my favorite verses of Scripture is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. It says, the Word of God says here in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he, that's God the Father, hath made him, that's God the Son, to be sin for us." Jesus was made sin. He was sin personified for you and I. Why? He was made sin for us who knew no sin. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It surpassed all human comprehension, isn't it? The guiltless dying for the guilty. Amen. I think sometimes as Christians we take for granted Calvary too much and what took place there. As we're looking at some points on the doctrine of his death, let's look at the result of his death. Well, salvation to all mankind that accept him as a substitute. That's the result, amen. Look with me in 1 Timothy for a moment. In 1 Timothy, in chapter number 4, in verse 10. "For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach," Paul said, "because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe." Amen. Well, that was point B. Amen. Point B here in our lesson on the death of Christ, as we've looked at several points concerning the doctrine of his death. Now we want to look at point C, objections. Objections to the substitutionary death of Christ. Here's one. Can man suffer for his own sins? Yes, but the full penalty is eternal death, and eternity will not be long enough to pay the complete debt. Another objection, can man atone for his own sins? No. Eternal suffering is not enough. Look at what it says in Hebrews chapter 9 for a moment. Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9, verse 22. "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission." Only death can satisfy the demands of God, and the soul never succeeds in dying in hell. Someone has defined hell as dying forever and never being able to die. Another objection to the substitutionary death of Christ is the doctrine of the atonement was invented by Paul. And of course, no, it wasn't. It was preached by our Lord Jesus Christ himself while he was still on the earth. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 16 for a moment. Matthew chapter 16. We see here in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21 that Jesus is talking about his suffering and coming glory. And he says in Matthew 16, verse 21, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day." So Jesus even talked about the atonement, about his atonement. Amen. Look it with me also in John chapter 12. John chapter 12, the Gospel of John. Chapter 12, in verse number 24. John 12:24. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." And of course, here Christ is using this illustration of corn falling into the ground, talking about himself, amen, about his suffering, his death. He's talking about his suffering and death. But as a result of it, it bringeth forth much fruit. And others, in other words, his atonement, by his atonement, many will be saved. Amen. Another objection. Will this doctrine not make men feel hopeless in sin even more? Of course, the answer to that is no. The cross teaches God's great hatred for sin. Let's look at the book of Romans. Book of Romans for a moment. Romans chapter 6 and verses 1 and 2. In Romans 6, verses 1 and 2, we read, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." See? No, the cross teaches God's great hatred for sin. Amen. This doctrine will not make men feel hopeless in sin even more. Amen. Another objection is it not unfair to make the innocent suffer for our sins against his will? Well, it would be unfair if Jesus were forced to suffer for our sins against his will. However, we've seen earlier in our study that Jesus volunteered to die for us. It was his own desire, his own choosing to do so. We see another objection is, could God not just forgive the sinner without the terrible death on Calvary? Well, sin has been committed against God. Amen. Why couldn't God just blot it out? Well, the reason for that is he could not, for the law of God must be satisfied. Let's look at some verses of Scripture that speak of this. First in Genesis. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis 2 with me. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. "And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened." Genesis chapter 2. I was looking in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, but we want Genesis 2, 17. "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." So, because they had to die, amen. Amen, because of they disobeyed God. And that's what God says. As a result of disobeying God, amen, you'll die. Because look at what it says in the book of Ezekiel with me. Ezekiel chapter 18. The prophet Ezekiel chapter 18 with me. In verse number 4. The Bible tells us in Ezekiel 18:4, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." And of course, in the book of Romans, chapter 6 and verse 23, the Bible tells us, "For the wages of sin is death." See, repentance does not remove the need for the punishment for sin. Sin has been committed, and sin must be dealt with according to God's own precepts. The justice and honor of God are at stake and must be preserved. The holiness of God demands the death penalty for sin. Then another objection, amen, to the substitutionary death of Christ is this. Is it not possible to transfer guilt from a guilty one to an innocent one? Well, human courts punish only the guilty one, but they could punish a substitute if such were desired, for the substitute voluntarily assumes the guilt of the other. Look with us in Isaiah chapter 53, and that's exactly what Jesus did for us. Amen. He was the substitute for us, the guilty ones. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53 in verse number 4. Speaking of Christ, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem his stricken, and smitten of God and afflicted. See, he took our guilt, the innocent one. Our guilt was transferred to him because he did it voluntarily. Amen. Wasn't forced to do it. Again in Isaiah 53, verse number 5, Bible tells us, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. Again, seeing that the guiltless one received the penalty or the punishment for the guilty. Amen. But the substitution of Christ, he was substituted for us, and he did it voluntarily once again. He received what was the payment of the punishment that was coming to us. Amen. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Amen. We are forgiven. Amen. Looking in 1 Peter with me. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2 with me. In 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse number 24. Talking about Christ in the context, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Amen. Again, the guiltless one, the sinless one, received the punishment. Amen. For our sins, the guilty sins. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Amen. So we can live now. We were dead to sin, as the Bible tells us. We were dead in trespasses and sins before Christ. But now, we should live unto righteousness, because we're no longer guilty. Amen. Our guilt has been placed on Christ, and he's received the punishment and the payment for our sins. Amen. A last objection we want to look at to the substitutionary death of Christ is this. If each sin requires eternal death, how could Christ suffer an innumerable number of deaths in a few short hours of Calvary? Again, this objection is, if each sin requires eternal death, how could Christ suffer an innumerable numbers of deaths in the few short hours of Calvary? Well, to answer that objection, it was not the amount of suffering that counted, but the justice of God that had to be satisfied. Amen. The fact that a holy, sinless one suffered made the difference. Amen. The one who suffered was not a mere man. No, the Bible tells us he was the God-man. He was fully God and fully man at the same time. Let's look at 1 Timothy for a moment. 1 Timothy with me. In chapter number 2, in verse number 5, the Bible tells us, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. The God-man. He was fully God and fully man at the same time. Don't try to figure it out. I can't. Amen. But the Bible says so. I believe it. Because the Scriptures say it. You know, our finite minds, amen, cannot understand it. And don't try. Just we know that the Bible says that Jesus Christ was God and man at the same time. Amen. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 52 for a moment. Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah chapter 52 in verse number 14. Isaiah 52 and verse 14. Isaiah 52, verse 14, the Bible says, As many were astoned at thee, his visage was so marred, more than any man, in his form more than the sons of men. This verse suggests a death so horrible that God pulled down the curtain of darkness at Calvary, lest men see the marred face of Christ. Look at what it says in Luke chapter 23 with me. Luke chapter 23. In Luke chapter 23, in verse number 44 with me. Luke 23:44. And it was about the sixth hour, that was noontime, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, 3 p.m. That verse tells us that Jesus was beaten to a bloody pulp. Amen. We know that they ripped out the hairs of his beard from his cheeks. And we know that when you do that, flesh comes with that hair. But his face was beaten beyond recognition. We know that he was whipped and beaten to a bloody pulp, to such an extent that his probably internal organs were hanging out. This just wasn't any ordinary death. Amen. He was beaten. He was spit upon. His face was beaten beyond recognition. You know, you see today some of these car wrecks, and people are in there, have died, and cars been crushed in like an accordion. Well, they're nothing compared to the death of Jesus Christ. What he went through for you and I. Amen. For you and I. Again, that verse in Isaiah says, as many were stoned at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, in his far more and his form more than the sons of men. So it's saying no one can equal what Christ went, what his death, his body was beaten, the flesh his face, his body, his form, beyond recognition. It was just a bloody pulp. Amen. We don't realize sometimes, as Christians, you know, again, I can't say it enough, we take Calvary for granted in the suffering that our Lord and Savior went through for you and I. Amen. The pain and suffering that our sins caused Christ. And the fact that his own Father had to forsake him as he was made sin personified. As he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Let us never take his death, the shedding of his precious blood, lightly. A great price was paid that day on Calvary's cross. And when you have the opportunity to preach, preach Calvary. Tell those that you're preaching to what Christ had to go through for sinners, for lost sinners.